Following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 5, 1995 in Singapore. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 28, Verse 63.
I am very pleased to hear your statement about the tape and about brahmachari life. Yes, the anchor as in the sketch story, the grand procession, is sex life, and we are 50% liberated if we can make it nil. There isn't any difference between chanting the holy name and at the same time washing the dishes of the temple. Do not be worried when you are attracted for doing other work in the temple. There is variegatedness in transcendental activity. Sometimes you like to chant, sometimes you like to wash dishes. There is no difference on the absolute plane. I'm sure Krishna will give you intelligence to work transcendentally. Hope you are well. Srila Prabhupada, letter to Satsarupa, 15 February 1968. 6802. The faith increases in Krishna consciousness by our voluntary increase of serving Krishna. Serving Krishna is unlimited, and He can accept our unlimited service and award us unlimited transcendental pleasure in the unlimited service of the Lord. That is the meaning of unlimited. SPL to Brahmananda, 20th Feb, 1968. 6805. It is very good news that the girl Haridasa is dreaming about Krishna and Krishna is playing with her. It is very much encouraging. It means she will come out a great and successful devotee of Krishna when she is grown up and young. May Krishna bless her and her good parents who are training her in that way. Please offer my thanks to Balarama and his good wife. Srila Prabhupada, letter to Mukunda, May 6, 1968. 6806. Your judgment that because you think you cannot take part in the translation work, therefore you have decided to contribute for its publication. This dictation from within your heart from Krishna is quite in order. For serving the Lord, we require to sacrifice our life, our wealth, our intelligence, and our words. One can serve the Lord with these four possessions. If not with three, if not then with two or even one, and that is sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I wish that you can utilize your best talents in business organization, and the result utilized for Krishna's satisfaction is on the absolute platform. To make the idea more clear, if I am translating Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you are contributing for its publication, helping for its distribution, this means there is no difference between your service and my service. On the absolute platform, there is no such distinction. And service is always on the absolute platform. One has to make the best use of his talent for the service of Krishna. That is wanted. Best example is Arjuna, that he utilized his talents, military science, in the service of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, letter to Gargamuni, 7 June 1968. 6806. I think your chanting Hare Krishna regularly is being responded to by Krishna, and he is giving you good sense how to make preaching propaganda on behalf of his lordship. It is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as you might have seen it, that one who hears about Krishna, for him, Krishna helps in various ways, and the first thing is that he cleanses the mind of all dusty matter, and by continuing such chanting and by reading regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, one becomes gradually freed from the influence of passion and ignorance, and thus becomes situated in goodness. In such platform one can engage oneself in serious devotional service, and thus one becomes illuminated with transcendental knowledge of Krishna. This stage is called liberated stage. And at this time one becomes free from all doubts and material bondage, and thus life becomes successful. Please try to follow this principle, and I'm sure you will be happy and successful in your execution of this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada letter to Hari Vilas, 10th June 1968. 6806, Maharaj Dasarath, although he was a great devotee of the Lord, but because he was a Kshatriya king, keeping one's promise is inevitable for him. He preferred to banish Ramchandra on the request of his wife on the principle of keeping his promise. In higher states of spiritual life, one can even break promises also, but they are devotees of comparative merit. In the case of Vasudeva, we find that he was spiritually more advanced than Maharaj Dasarath. Vasudeva was also in agreement with Kamsa that he would deliver all his sons to his hand as soon as the child was born. But in the case of Krishna, he broke his promise. The point is that Krishna appeared as the full-fledged personality of Godhead, but Ramachandra appeared as an ideal king. Therefore, in the Leela of Ramachandra, the principles of morality and ethics as they are to be followed by the ideal king and ruler were followed. In the same sense, he banished Sita in order to prove himself as an ideal king who wanted to make his subjects happy, always happy. The whole program was on the basis of an ideal king. But in the case of Lord Krishna, he played as the fully independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apparently, therefore, he transgresses so many moral and ethical principles. These comparative studies in the life of Krishna and Ramachandra are very intricate. But the basic principle is that Ramachandra appeared as an ideal king and Krishna appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although there is no difference between the two. A similar example is Lord Chaitanya. He appeared as a devotee and not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is Krishna himself. So we should accept the Lord's mood in different appearances and we should worship him in that mood. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, because he is Krishna himself, somebody worships him in the same manner as Krishna. But Krishna was in the role of enjoyer and Lord Chaitanya is in the role of being enjoyed. So the part known as Gauranga Nagari, they are considered to be deviated from devotional service on account of Lord Chaitanya being given the same facility as Krishna, which he did not like. Our service mood should be compatible to the attitude of the Lord, not that we should overlap the attitude of Krishna to Lord Chaitanya or Lord Chaitanya to Krishna or Krishna to Ramchandra or Ramchandra to Krishna. Therefore, in the Shastra, specific injunctions are there, just like to worship Lord Chaitanya is by the method of chanting, Hare Krishna! Yes, it is true that Ramchandra banished Sita later on. Ayodhya is not bound up with any material worlds, just like Vrindavan is not bound up by any material limitations. So much as Krishna is not bound up by any material limitations, so the kingdom of Ayodhya historically was attractive land as we see it at the present moment. But at that time, the king of Ayodhya was the emperor of the world. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Satsarupa, 16 June 1968. Yatha purusha atmanam ekam adarsha chakshusho dvidha bhutam yavekshetha tataivantaram avayo. Although he and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one in quality, the living entity is prone to forget his spiritual identity, whereas the Supreme Personality never forgets. This is the difference between lipta and alipta. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally alipta, uncontaminated by the external energy. The conditioned soul, however, being in contact with material nature, forgets his real identity. Therefore, when he sees himself in the conditioned state, he identifies himself with the body. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, there is no difference between this body and the soul. He is completely soul. He has no material body. Although the Supersoul, Paramatma, and the individual soul are both within the body, the Supersoul is devoid of designation, whereas the conditioned soul is designated by his particular type of body. The Supersoul is called Antaryami, and he is extensive. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3. Kshetragyam chapimang vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. O son of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. The super soul is present in everyone's body, whereas the individual soul is conditioned in one particular type of body. The individual soul cannot understand what is taking place in another's body, but the super soul knows very well what is happening in all bodies. In other words, the super soul is always present in his full spiritual position, whereas the individual soul is prone to forget himself. Nor is the individual soul present everywhere. Generally, in his conditioned state, the individual soul cannot understand his relationship with the super soul. But sometimes, when he is free from all conditional existence, he can see the real difference between the super soul and himself. When the super soul tells the conditioned soul, "You and I are one and the same," it is to remind the conditioned soul of his spiritual identity as being qualitatively one. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3:28-40, it is said, Yatol mukad visvulingat dhumad vapi swa sambhavat apyatmatvena bhimatat yatagni pritagulma ulmukat. Fire has different features. There is flame, the sparks, and the smoke. Although these are one in quality, there is still a difference between the fire, the flame, the spark, and the smoke. The living entity becomes conditioned, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is different because he does not become conditioned at any point. In the Vedas it is stated, Atma tata pritak drashta Bhagavan Brahma samgita. Atma is the individual soul as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the seer of everything. Although both are spirit, there is always a difference. In the Smriti it is also said, Yatagne kshudra vispulinga vyucharanti. Just as sparks manifest in a large fire, similarly the small individual souls are present in the big spiritual flame. In Bhagavad Gita 9:4, Lord Krishna says, Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham te shavastitaha. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Although all living beings are resting in him, as small fiery sparks rest on a large flame, both are differently situated. Similarly, in the Vishnu Purana it is said, Eka desha stitasyagner jyotsna vistarini yatha parasya brahmana saktis tatedam akilam jagat. Quote, fire is situated in one place, but it distributes heat and light. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is distributing his energies in different ways. Unquote. The living entity is but one of these energies, marginal energy. The energy and energetic are one in one sense, but they are differently situated as energy and energetic. Similarly, the Satchit Ananda form confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Iswaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchit Ananda Vigraha, is different from that of the living entity in both his conditioned and liberated states. Only atheists consider the living entity and the personality of Godhead equal in all respects. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Maya vadhi bhashya sunile hoyo sarvonasha. Translation, if one follows the instructions of Mayavadi philosophers and believes that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual soul are one, his understanding of real philosophy is forever doomed. End of translation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 63, chapter 28, canto 4 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of Puranjana becomes a woman in his next life. Translation, as a person sees the reflection of his body in a mirror, to be one with himself and not different, whereas others actually see two bodies. So in our material condition, in which the living being is affected and yet not affected, there is a difference between God and the living entity. So it is very lengthy to report. Srila Prabhupada has given various examples from different parts of the Vedas, from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Puran, Chaitanya Charitamrita, because this is a basic fundamental point that we must get very clear. What is the relationship between the individual spirit soul and the Supreme Spirit? There are aspects which are the same, which are not different, and there are aspects which are different. Just like if a father tells his son that we are both humans, we both have the same qualities. There's nothing wrong. The father doesn't have to. If the father told the son, "You're as big as I am," then the son would know that the father is joking with him, because he can see his father is very big and son is only this small. So there's no sense of saying we're the same size. So the Lord here is saying we're the same. The point was, it's obvious that the living entity is limited in his power. So by power, there's definitely a difference. Lord is all-powerful, and living entity only has a small bit of power. But quality, that the Lord is eternal, living entity is eternal. Lord is has spiritual knowledge, living entity can also have spiritual knowledge. And that the Lord has a spiritual happiness, a living entity by nature should be experiencing spiritual bliss. These qualities are common. Now, if there wasn't a common quality, then the Lord trying to strike up or relating with the living entity on an equal basis wouldn't be possible. Just like someone may have a pet fish. You see that people have pet goldfish here in Singapore. But it's not like you can have a very intimate relationship with your goldfish. You can look at it, you can feed it, maybe you can, you know, like it and become attached to it, but there's not a lot of communication there. There's not a lot of interchange or reciprocation. Maybe the most you can get is the goldfish will come up and eat the food from the top when you feed it or something. Or there's a big gap there. You know, people try to establish relationships with their dogs, and sometimes they feel that they have a relationship with the dog. One lady in America, she left $135 million inheritance to her cat. She was a rich cat, because she felt that her cat was so helpful to her, only friend. So left all the money in a trust fund, so that the cat could fully enjoy $135 million, $200 million Singapore dollars. When the cat died, a very big tomb would be built for it, and the rest money would go to charity. But really, how much is the cat able to reciprocate with that lady? The lady might have thought the cat was reciprocating, but it's a very limited amount of reciprocation one can get. So the Supreme Lord and the living entity, when the living entity is purified from the material contamination, can be on a similar, on the same kind of absolute platform, qualitatively. Therefore, the Lord can have a direct and complete relationship. Of course, the Lord has this really fully complete relationship with His internal energies, like Radharani, Lakshmi, and the living entities. They also have relationship with the Lord, but generally they're as assistants to the internal energies. So the relationship is complete, and it's possible because we have the same quality. Now, the Mayavadi means impersonalists. Maya means illusion, and they say you take away the illusion and we realize we're God. Therefore, they call themselves Mayavadi. Simply remove illusion and realize you're God. We are all God. But this is a very erroneous concept. By having this concept that everything is one, they make so many offenses against Krishna. They bring actually Krishna down to the conditioned state. They give the conditioned soul false ideas that they're actually God. And thus, the devotional mood is destroyed. If somebody thinks that they're God, then how they'll be devoted to God? Just like if a parent spoils a child, And the child may think that my mother and father are just meant for serving me. And then they become very spoiled and they become very unruly. You know that example of the child who misused the free will. I tell you that story about the child who didn't get up in the morning. This example from the Vedas. There was one family and they had only one son. So what they did is they really served the son hand and foot. When he was about 9 years old, he was already thinking that, you know, I'm the lord of this house. Because mother and father, whatever I want, they give me. So he, instead of learning that he should be serving the parents, because that whatever he wanted, they thought that the goal in life for the parents is satisfy the son. So what happened? They spoiled the son. And he never learned the proper attitude that what is life. So one day the son was in his room, he locked all the doors and windows and he put his head under the pillow and under the blanket. And he didn't get up. So the mother came over and was knocking, you know, my dear Flower Puff, please get up, it's morning time. And he shouted out, you know, I know you're a dacoit, you're a thief in the night, come here to rob me. It's still dark, I don't see any light. And you're a thief who's trying to imitate the voice of my mother. So I won't open the door because you'll rob me. And the mother called the father, you know, what's going on here? And then the father saying, look here, our dear son, it's 9 in the morning. It's not midnight. There's sunlight outside. You can open the door. So now another thief is coming, imitating my father. You're already expert thieves, I won't open the door. I know it's midnight. I don't see any light. It's dark here. He says, listen, open the window, you'll see this light. Don't try to trick me. I know these are all tricks. It's dark in here. And what do you mean dark? The sun is out. The whole world is illuminated by the sun. You can see the whole world. It's bright daylight. So look here, you say the sun is so powerful, it's the eye of Vishnu. Well, if the sun is so powerful, I'm in here in the room with the doors and windows shut. If he's really that powerful, let him come in the room without me opening the windows and doors. Otherwise, I don't believe in a sun also. It's all bogus. Why all this nonsense? He started going, you know, like, the father, listen, just open the door and see the light. Stop this nonsense. So that boy is called Alala Dulala, spoiled by too much affection. So he got the wrong idea. So the Mayavadis, they spoil people. They tell them, you're God. So they grow up spoiled. They all think, I'm God. We're all God. Everyone's God. So they never learn what they really are. They're like spoiling a child. They grow up and they think that the whole world is meant to serve them. They get the root awakening in the real world. They had to do so many sacrifices and everyone is not out to serve them. More or less, everyone's out to cheat them. And only a few people are their well-wishers. So, these Mayavadis, they're telling everybody that they're all God. And then what happens is people misuse their free will. Ultimately, we all have the free will if we want to serve the Lord or not. But normally, even if somebody gets the idea that there's a Supreme Lord, he might still choose that I don't want to serve him. Probably the boy knew it was the daylight and he was just playing around, but he was acting very spoiled. So he was misusing his free will. But see, the Mayavadis are one step further because of their bewildering philosophy. If you take like the boy, if he really believed what he was saying, he really thought that it was dark out. That's the Mayavadi, therefore, in worse ignorance than the materialist. In some respect. In some respect, they're better because they know there's a spirit and there's a matter. But in another respect, they're worse off because they think that everyone is God. So they get it's like a dead-end road. It looks good when you go in, but you cannot get out from it. If you want to get out, you have to go back to where you entered and continue on. Mayavad is a dead-end road. You can never reach to Krishna consciousness through Mayavad. He says we are not God. We are only qualitatively one with God. We can never reach Krishna. All we can reach is the impersonal truth. Krishna is realized in three forms, as impersonal Brahma Jyoti, as a localized super soul, four-handed form of Vishnu in the heart, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is in the spiritual world. Now, when someone, the spirit also has got this illumination quality, if they see the effulgence of the spirit soul, individual soul, and they see the unlimited effulgence of Brahman, of the Brahma Jyoti, they might think that this I am the same. And that's about as far as they can get. Actually, even if one drop of ocean sees the rest of the ocean, if the drop thinks, now I'm entering the ocean, now I have become the ocean. Is it real? One drop is still one drop. One molecule of water cannot become the whole ocean, even if it mixes with the ocean of water. It always remains one molecule. Similarly, individual soul is always only one individual soul. Even if it's within an ocean of other individual spirit souls, it may simply not be able to distinguish itself from anybody else. It may just be there in a very undifferentiated situation in the light. It becomes unconscious, so to speak, of its individuality. It doesn't mean it becomes God. It just can't tell the difference in it. So, just like that child was misusing the free will. At least if we have the right idea that I am an individual soul and the Lord is also individual, but He's unlimited and I am limited. Therefore, if I get His shelter, if I get His protection, I can advance. At least we can decide then to serve. See, the Mayavadis, if you get their understanding that we're all one, then the question, why should I surrender to God? I am God. See, I just had to, one day I'll get liberated and I'll realize I am God. So there's really, you know, I can worship God just to, you know, they also might worship God just like as some kind of an act. I'm worshipping myself. I went to see the Shankaracharya at Puri in 1970. He was worshipping Radha and Krishna deities, beautiful deities. So I asked him that, you're saying you're God, but then why you're worshipping Radha and Krishna? He said, I'm worshipping myself. It's just a different form of myself. I said, but Radha and Krishna are so beautiful, they're always young. But you become old and you're, getting old and wrinkled. He said, this is my lila. I said, but my dear Swamiji, everyone is going through that lila. To remain eternally young is an exceptional lila, which everyone would be attracted to, but growing old, that's nothing very special. If you can stop that lila, people will be impressed. Somehow, even a very, although he was a big pundit, but because of his impersonal concept, everything gets twisted in their brain. They get permanently short-circuited. And they're not able to see things as they are. Like everything, they're just thinking that I'm God and one day I'll realize I'm God. And even if they were fortunate to realize the impersonal Brahman, they might think that they were God. But actually, we are never God. We are qualitatively God. We are servers serving gods, minute serving gods. And Krishna is the supreme enjoying God. There's a difference. We are minute particles of the spark in the fire, and He's the whole fire. From Him, smoke, flames, and sparks are coming. Flames might be like the internal energy, smoke like the material energy, and the sparks like the living entities, they're very small. The spark leaves the fire, it goes out. In the fire, it stays lit. There's another example, I think I told you about the example between the cow dung paisa. You know that example? You had cow dung paisa? See, once there was a Mayavadi was invited over to lunch by a devotee who was his friend. And the devotee is trying to explain to him what's an error in his philosophy. So he prepared a nice, rice and sabjis and rasam and sambar and everything. All a nice preparation. At the end, he gave some paisa. But they brought out the paisam, and it was not the pala paisam or mel paisam, it was gober paisam, cow dung. He put the cow dung and rice and a little sugar together and mixed it up so that the person said, what is this? It was the paisam. why is like this brown and all cow dung? And I said, why? What's wrong with it? No, but usually we're having with milk or something, you know. I mean, milk is coming from what? He says, it's coming from cow. And what is gober coming from? It's coming from cow. So what's the difference? Milk or gober, it's all from cow. It's all one. So why do you see the difference? You're saying everything is one. You see? So I'm giving you cow dung paisam. Enjoy. No, but I don't feel so inclined. I prefer to have the milk paisam. Then you are not following your philosophy. This is a problem. The Mayavadi philosophy is not practical. They're saying everything coming from God is God. How is that possible? There's a difference. There's a difference between material energy, there's a difference between the spiritual energy, there's a difference between the Lord Himself and His energies. The Lord can do things we can't do. Somehow you can make, with cow dung, you can put on the wall, and you can put on the floor, and you can make fire yajnas, and for the very nice cow dung has many uses. You can make patties and burn it. But with milk you can't do that. You cannot make patties. If you put milk on the wall, it's not going to have the same effect. Similarly, with cow dung, you can't make sweet rice or yogurt. You ever try to turn cow dung into yogurt? Or get ghee out of cow dung? You won't get it, because it's a different thing. Although it's coming all from the cow, but it's two different purposes and different uses. It might all be good. Similarly, the Lord has got varieties of energies. Varasya sakti vividai visruyate. And all the energies have got their specialties. Yet they're all coming from the Lord. They have also some common origin. So we are energy of the Lord. We are not the cow. We are one of the energies of the Lord. We are not coming, we're not the Lord Himself. Neither we are the same as other energies. Lord Chaitanya, when he was a small child, he was, his mother brought out, he's just a baby, kind of just like a crawling, just like maybe 1 year old or 1.5, like they're just kind of, just small, just talking and crawling, a little walking. And so mother brought out some sandesh and sweets, burfi, rasagula, and gave on a plate and said, have some sweets. But the child picked up the dirt and started eating the dirt. The mother said, don't eat dirt. And the child said, why not? This is dirt, and that sandesh and rasagula is also only coming from earth. The cow is all coming from earth, so this dirt or that dirt, what's the difference? And the mother had to think, you know, what is my son saying? You know, there's a difference. You know, well, what's the difference? It's all earth. It's all transformation of the same earth. So I like to eat the dirt earth rather than the sandesh. So she had to, then she got a piece of brick or a clay pot or something, and she took and she filled it with water. And she said, see, when you take the earth and you fire it in this form as a brick or a clay pot, you put water, it doesn't get destroyed. You can hold water in a clay pot. But she put some dirt from the ground and poured water on it, it became mud. You see, you put the crude earth, you put water, it become mud. So earth in different form has different use. So similarly, if you eat the crude earth, you'll get sick. But if you eat the earth in a form as food stuff which is prepared and you offer to Krishna, you'll get healthy. So you can eat the sandesh, but you shouldn't eat the crude dirt. Just like you can put water in a clay pot, but you can't put water and hold it by the crude earth. Then baby Nimai said, Mommy, why didn't you tell me this before? If you don't tell me this, how can I know what to eat, what not to eat? And then he started crying and said, give me your breast, I'm hungry. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya would reveal his transcendental play by showing some opulence that normally no child would have. Then again he covers himself up, and motherly affection of his mother, she forgets everything. So here Mother Sachi, she was in that predicament. She had to preach to her son who thought everything was one. She had to free him from this impersonal idea. Qualitatively, everything might be dirt or earth, but the earth in different transformations is different. So we are all Brahman, we're all spirit. Everything is coming from spirit, but in a different form. It has different use. And Krishna is the total. He's a supreme spirit. So we can never be the same as He is in quantity. This is Prabhupada's ring. I think he was given here in Southeast Asia in Indonesia. It seems to have a Garuda on it. So this has got some gold in it. The quality of this, the quantity of this gold is less than the quantity in the gold mine. I was just in Australia and South Africa, and both the places they're mining gold. Right now there's a gold rush going on in Australia because they found a new process to get the gold out of the gold ore, which before they couldn't get it out. It got, you know, a certain percent out. The rest had such a small quantity, they just left it. But now with the improvement of technology, they can get out gold from even that dust that was thrown away. Some small percentage was there, but that now the technology can get it out. So now everybody's rushing back to the gold mines to get that dirt and get the gold out. So the quality of the gold, whether it's in a gold mine, you get tons and tons. They were saying how some one mine was giving some 600,000 tons of gold or something like that, 6 million, I forget. So much gold it gave in its history. Now it's reopening. So that quantity of gold in a gold mine is so great. The quality is same. The quantity is different. So Krishna is like the gold mine, unlimited gold. In comparison to the gold of the individual soul, is like a little ring or earring or something. Small quantity. The quality is the same. So this is the thing we have to understand. We have the same quality as Krishna. Therefore, why Krishna is telling us this? So why you're acting like a material person? You're not of this material world. You are my quality. You have also eternity, knowledge, bliss. You're eternal. So why you're acting as the body? Wake up from this illusion. You are of the same quality as I am. You should be acting in a spiritual way. Only using the material body for a spiritual purpose is not being used by the material body. You're not to serve the body. The body is to serve you. Because we think we're the body, we go on serving the body. We're decorating the body. If the body is... It's like if you got your gas tank filled, air tires are filled, you think, now I'm in bliss. My gas tank has got petrol, my tires have got air, my mobile is in the thing, so now this is the perfection. If I can keep my gas tank full, then I'm always, this is perfection. But by doing that, it's not going to make you any, you know, maybe psychologically one can be happy, but actually it doesn't really give the deep satisfaction we're looking for. The material illusion is because when we eat something, we feel pleasure. When we get, you know, we don't, may not feel directly sensual pleasure when you fill your gas tank. Psychologically, you might feel. But this pleasure we feel with the material body is illusion. It's a temporary illusion that is created through the false ego. So although we're getting some sensation of pleasure, that's not the real happiness that we're looking for. It's more like somehow we are just a very strong indicator, like a control panel in our body. When we feel things which are good for us, it's pleasure. When we feel things which are bad, we cut our foot, we feel pain. Today I had experience of that. So this is to remind, if we didn't know, some people, they don't feel pain. And they're called the bleeders, like they get cut and they don't feel it, and they maybe bleed to death, you see, because they don't feel any pain. So this the body should feel pleasure and pain, we know what's happening. The Krishna wants people to make children, so the world continues to have procreation, many population. So he gives pleasure when people have sex life. But nowadays, the governments, they didn't want so many children. Like in Singapore, they made policy, don't have so many children. Now they saw that if we go on like this, we'll become extinct. There'll be no more Singaporeans. This happened also in Finland. Finland has only about 6 million people also. And the government made the policy that family planning, they call it, it's kind of institutionalized murder. But in any case, what happened is then the people got in the habit of not having children. So what's happening is now the population is going down. And then there was a big headlining that if you don't have kids, the Finns will be finished. They call Finland people Finns. So the Finns will be finished. The language is called Finnish. So they'll be finished. So now they're offering it. Anybody has a child there, if you're a Phineas person, you have a child, they'll give you $5,000. 13 months leave with pay. Still, they don't want now to get them pregnant and all that difficulty. You know. They got enough money. Why do I go through all the trouble? So they're in a big problem. They don't know what to do. The population is going down. So some rich man there started a fund to offer bigger and bigger bonuses if you have a child. And not just having a baby there, it's like a business. So that happened here also. Now the government here is saying, I heard that you try to have three or more if you have the money. But before they were saying have less, because now they're saying that they're in trouble. Nobody has babies, the Singapore will gradually not have any more Singaporeans. There'll be a problem. So Krishna, he wanted people to have children, and he made the things which you should do to some extent, he made it pleasurable. You should eat, so he made eating pleasant. He made sex life pleasurable. But of course then the people, they only want that pleasure and they get out of control. So ultimately, human being has to regulate according to intelligence. What is good for us? Too much of anything is not good. So there's a whole system given in Vedas how to regulate people by karmas. But then ultimately it says the real purpose of life is not just to have regulated material happiness. But the real purpose is to regain our original spiritual position. To realize that we're quantitatively one with the Lord and have our real spiritual happiness, which is in relation to Krishna. So that is what the basis of this verse is today. We can get that spiritual happiness by serving Krishna, by chanting His holy names, by serving His devotees. If we have the proper consciousness, we can get this pleasure very easily, this spiritual happiness, which is not dependent on the material things. But if we think we're God, and we're just playing a lila, that we're serving other forms of the same God, and eventually all this illusion will disappear and we'll realize that we're all one, then we don't get that spiritual bliss. We may get some peace, but we don't really get the spiritual happiness that the Vaishnavas are getting. Mother Sachi, in that pastime with her son, actually feeling all the love she's feeling is really spiritual. Although it looks like a normal mother and a child, but because she has so much love and it's actually Krishna, that love she's feeling is on a higher platform. Now this is a great mystery for the Mayavadis. They can't figure out what is going on in Krishna's pastimes because it looks like material activities. When Mother Yasoda is milking the cow or feeding Krishna, they don't realize the internal, what is the sentiment that they're feeling. The sentiment is not that emotions that they're feeling is something completely transcendentally satisfying to the self. You see, the four Kumaras were realized in the Brahman, and they couldn't also understand what is it the devotees are experiencing. They just thought that this is not very important. Until they went to the Vaikuntha, bowed down to Narayan and they smelled the tulasi on his lotus feet, then they started to feel their hair standing on end, they started to feel the happiness in their heart of devotion. Because they had bowed down to the Lord, then they realized that whatever happiness we're feeling now out of devotion is so much greater than the happiness we were feeling out of Brahman. There's no comparison. Immediately they got converted over. Prabhupada gives the crude example, like if you go to one restaurant and someone says, come to my other restaurant, it's much better. If it has better food, you just forget about the old one. You don't even think about it. If it's better food, you know, then who cares about that? So like that, the great yogis, once they may have got so much happiness in Brahman, once they taste the happiness of Krishna consciousness, they just forget about it. It's insignificant. Compared to material things, it might be something great. But compared to Krishna consciousness, it becomes again insignificant. But that's why many of the Brahman realized yogis have later become devotees. They never go back again. Okay, thank you very much. Please try to understand these points. avoid the Mayavadi understanding. Don't get mixed up between cow dung sweet rice and milk sweet rice. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes? What's the difference in the Mayavadi and the Brahmavadi? Mayavadi, Brahmavadi is almost synonyms. One is worshipping Brahman, but why they're only worshipping Brahman is because basically they got the idea that that is the supreme. The Mayavadis have got the same idea. Now, not every Mayavadi realizes Brahman. Not every Brahmavadi. It says that, just like in Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sahasrishu manushyanam kaschid yadati siddhaye yatatam abhisiddhanam kaschid mangveti tattvata. That out of millions, out of thousands of people, one person is interested in the truth. And out of those who are interested in the truth, who are interested, like they're like the Gyanis. Only one out of thousands actually becomes realized. And out of thousands of the realized souls, the Siddhas, you only find one who knows me in truth, Krishna, one who is my devotee. Only a devotee can know Krishna. So yes, out of so many Mayavadis, only one of them out of millions, only one might actually realize Brahman. And that may take them many, many births. Bhunam janmanam ante ganavang nang papadjante. You see, but after many, many births, they realize Brahman. Then if they're fortunate, they may also realize Krishna. But that's a very roundabout way. Sometimes they may not realize Krishna also, unless they meet a devotee. There may be so many people doing devotional service, but out of them, how many are pure devotees? If we become a pure devotee, then we'll realize Krishna. But if we're a devotee, there's a little change of consciousness. Most people do devotion to get, like a Santa Claus, they go to Krishna with their wish list. Like the children want for Christmas, I want this toy, I want that thing, I want this thing. And they give to Santa Claus, and then the mother and father go out in the market, buy everything and give it, and say, Santa Claus has put it. This is institutionalized cheating going on. When I was about 6 years old, I wondered why my father would go out every time. And I come back from to the house and all the things to be, I said, I want to help my father help Santa Claus. Then I realized the secret. It took a few years for my younger brother and sister to find out the trick. My father was impersonating Santa Claus. The point is that here we are. We are going to Krishna, wanting Him to give us the things. So it's not a pure devotion. It's a mixed devotion. Some bhakti is there and some motive is there, material motive. When we don't get what we want, then we think, oh, if we get it some other way, then we forget about Santa Claus. We pray about God. When people got enough money, then they think, I don't need to worship God anymore. But they don't, because this is not the real purpose for our worshiping Krishna. There's a much higher purpose, which is our eternal relationship with Krishna. But most people don't know that. When you actually get to that level, and out of thousands and thousands of people worshiping God, you get one who's a pure devotee. And they're considered the greatest amongst all liberated souls. So even more rare than a Karmi is a Gyani. And amongst the Gyani, it's more difficult to find a realized Gyani, a Mukta. And amongst so many Mukta, people realize the absolute truth, it's hard to find one devotee.